Well, good morning, everyone. You get into a certain habit, and it's hard to do it otherwise. And I even told myself, don't say good afternoon, don't say good afternoon. I was probably setting myself up, wasn't I? Well, as I'm sure we all know, we're told to judge or examine ourselves before taking the Passover, and we're to use these days of unleavened bread to be examining and evaluating ourselves, to look to see perhaps where we have grown, to see where we still need to grow, where we still need to make changes and overcome. We're to look at and consider our character, our conduct, and our attitude. So what is our attitude toward what we read in Acts 20:35? Here the Apostle Paul quotes Jesus Christ as saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's a pretty familiar verse. I remember years before I was baptized, attending another church as a youth, that verse was quoted a lot, and I can remember what my attitude was back then. I says, well, maybe it's more blessed to give than to receive, but I'd just as soon be blessed by receiving. Somebody pointed out once that if it's more blessed to receive, or to give rather, than it is blessed to receive, right? I wanted to home in on that. But the fact of the matter is, it says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And this is one more way in which we can be examining our attitudes. Many of us have known people in the past whom we supposed were our brethren, who did not like, even resented, having, and that's the way they looked at it, having to tithe and give offerings. Evidently, the heart wasn't in them. The heart that God is talking about here in Deuteronomy 5:29, when he says, oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And in Jeremiah 31:33, God says, of those called under the new covenant, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Romans 5:5 says that if we have God's Spirit in us, the love of God is shed abroad or poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. That's the kind of heart we should have. I want to deal with two related questions here today. Why does God expect us to give holy day offerings? And why do we, with a willing heart, if indeed we have that heart, why do we give them? Now, there are a lot of common reasons that are given. We've heard many of them in past years. We do so because, well, God says so. Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 and 17. There he commands us to do so. So we give offerings because he tells us to. We give offerings because God's work needs them. A substantial portion of the yearly budget depends on the revenue or the income from the annual holy day offerings. We should want to do all that we can to help and be involved in the effort to extend to others the same opportunity offered to us, to participate in the work that puts before others what God uses in calling others. We don't call them. God calls them, but he does so through the work that he is using us to perform. All of these are valid reasons for giving holy day offerings, and you can probably think of many more. But some questions we should ask are, whose children are we? Who is our Father? And what family are we to be a part of? There are really only two answers to these. We are either Satan's children or we're God's children. Speaking to the religious authorities at that particular time in Jerusalem, Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. How would you like to hear that? And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. A lot of people would say, well, I'm not a murderer, I'm not a liar. Everyone has been a murderer and a liar. Now, we are either the children of Satan, or we're the children of God. And if we're the children of God, we should be imbibing his nature. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4 says that we are to be partakers of the divine nature. What's one of the chief characteristics of that divine nature? What should become one of our chief characteristics? 1 John 4, just a few pages over, shows us what is by far the chief characteristic of God's nature, what defines his nature, what describes the way he is. 1 John 4 and verse 8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That describes the essence of his being. It's so important, he repeats it again in verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love is another way of saying give. It is the way of giving. In fact, Galatians 5:22 describes some of the characteristics that are born of God's Spirit. If we have God's Spirit dwelling in us and we're growing in his Spirit, growing in his ways, the very first one listed, the very first fruit, if that's what you want to call it, is love. We are to be developing, acquiring this characteristic of God's nature. Now, another way of putting this is to say we are to become holy as God is. How many times in the Bible is God quoted as saying, be holy, or be ye holy, for I am holy? He wants us to become holy as he is. There isn't time to explain it, but actually our English words holy, as they're used in the New Testament, words like holy, saint, sanctify, sanctification, they all come from the same Greek root. Passover, and all that it represents, all that it symbolizes, teaches us about our justification, a legal term, a legal position in our standing with God. The days of unleavened bread speak of our sanctification, the process by which we are becoming holy as God is holy, putting sin out of our lives, growing in God's righteousness and in God's holiness. Now, we are to take on God's nature. A family has a certain nature. There are certain traits, certain qualities that characterize members of a particular family. Now, God is the great giver. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, who should be our father, not Satan, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is the great giver. He gives bountifully and consistently. Notice it says, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. It's not an on-again, off-again sort of thing. It's not, well, I give sometimes, other times I don't feel like it. God gives by nature. He gives bountifully. The poorest of us has been given more than we can count in the way of blessings. He loves to give. That's just the way he is. It's his nature, and the nature of his family and of his children. We are to be learning and internalizing our Father's nature. We learn by doing. We are in training. We are to be practicing certain things. Giving offerings on God's holy days is a form of practice. We do it 7 times a year, every year, over and over. So it becomes eventually ingrained. It becomes habit. And it teaches us to regularly examine ourselves, examine our resources, and then to sacrifice some of what God has given us for a loving purpose, so that others may benefit as we have. Now, of course, God has unlimited resources. We, as yet, do not. That's why it says in Deuteronomy 16:17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So we have to make a judgment. We have to determine how much has God blessed us. And we've got to be honest with ourselves, and we've got to be honest with God in making that determination. We're not to take food out of our children's mouths or let the electricity be shut off, but neither are we to be chintzy. Now, frequently at this time of year, we quote from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 8, 6 through 8, rather. Some people get the wrong impression. It says here, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So, at least some in the past have thought, well, here they're saying, dig deeper. That's not what's being said at all. It's simply a principle. You know, if you only sow a little bit of seed, you're not going to get much of a crop. If you really dole out the seed, you're going to have a much bigger harvest. How much we give is up to us personally and individually. It's between us and God. It's between us and our consciences. I'm not here to talk about dollar amounts. It says, continuing here, it says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, not because you have to, for God loves a cheerful giver. So you see, you could give an extremely large amount and go away feeling like, oh boy, now, you know, how am I going to pay the bills this next week? Or you could give a smaller amount, but do it cheerfully, willingly, and be glad for the fact that you were able to contribute to and be a part of a work that God is conducting through us collectively and individually. The amount isn't the point. The attitude is, that's what God is looking at. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So to simply and succinctly answer the two questions we started with, why does God expect us to give offerings on these days, and why do we, hopefully, with a willing heart, give them? That's the way God is. That's the way His children are to be. That's the way of His family, the family we will be part of forever.